Hey, everybody out there in Radio Land, it is Living the Good Life with Pastor Marcia McAllister, Connie Farmer right here in the studio with me.
Hi, I can't hear myself.
You can't hear yourself? Okay, he'll fix that up right now. And Megan will be joining us in a little while from Indiana. Is that better?
Yes.
Okay, let's try
yes,
it here.
It
yeah,
is.
We're going to get our settings here figured
yes,
out in just
is.
A minute. Is that better? Okay. All right. We're so glad you've joined us today. We are live, as you can tell, since we are telling you what we're doing here on our buttons on the machines. But we are live, as always, every Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock on this radio station. Also, you can tell friends and relatives because we have listeners that listen in different parts of the United States and world. And the internet connection is excellent. It is www.tantalk1340.com. If you're in the Tampa Bay area and want to switch over to the computer, that's where you go. www.tantalk1340.com. If you're in other states or countries, that is where to go to the internet. And of course, that is where you are. You wouldn't. Yeah, you wouldn't even be listening to us if you weren't on that right?
Okay,
states
so. Countries.
States and other countries, that's right.
If you're on Mars, you're out of luck.
Yeah, out of luck. We don't have that service up to Mars at
the
this point
yet.
Right now. Yeah.
They work on that.
So, but we do have our website. Connie, isn't it a blessing to know how many radio shows are right there on our website and how easy it is for people to access it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, figure there's 365 a year.
Yeah, and we've
well,
been
no, three, not three, 52.
52.
Year, sorry,
and we've been on 7 years, and yeah. We don't have all of
the
them up there.
The first couple years, I don't think.
Yeah, the first couple
we've
years
put
we
a
didn't
few,
have it.
But,
yeah,
yeah.
But for the most part, there's got to be a whole lot.
Yeah.
Up there on our website,
at least 5 years worth. So 5 times 52 is 200.
Yeah, there's a ton. And tell them the benefit of that. Yeah, let's say a couple hundred shows on our website, which is, by the way, beaconofhopeministries.com. www.beaconofhopeministries.com. What's the benefit of that, Connie? Why do we go to the trouble to put these shows up there week after week?
Well, because people can't always listen live, and it's easier to, you know, sometimes to, if you're more disciplined, to just access it on your own leisure time.
Right. Yeah.
But you have to commit to it because I've gone to them and started listening, and then I lose my place because if I have to stop,
right,
I have to start over. So
right. So, yeah, and it's a great thing. I've heard different people say sometimes in the middle of the night you can't sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Nan says she does this. She's done this many times. And she goes to the computer and pulls up a show that she hasn't been able to listen to.
I think
to.
She's sleeping pretty good now.
Yeah, I think so. So maybe it's all working for her, yeah.
Yeah.
But praise God, that's a thing to do, to be able to listen to the shows. And so we are just grateful to be on the air this 7 years and in our seventh year. And our wonderful engineer in there, that cute man, Cedric Harris. Big Daddy. We talked about him last week and congratulated him and Heidi on their beautiful new daughter. 2 weeks old today, isn't she?
Woo.
2 weeks old today?
Yeah, 2 weeks old. In 4.5 hours.
Sorry. Yeah, who's counting? 4.5 hours, she'll be 2 weeks old. And her name is?
Melody Autumn.
Melody Autumn. And we just asked if she had that beautiful red strawberry hair like you, but right now, no, huh?
So, no, but I'll send a picture.
All right, send a picture.
But, then we'll turn it towards the camera.
Yeah.
Oh, we better not. Somebody might.
Right. Yeah, you can't do that. So, but anyway, we're excited and we're very happy for Cedric and for Heidi. And for this beautiful little baby, Melody, which we look forward to meeting someday. So God's been doing a lot, Connie. We moved into our new space September the 2nd. So we've only been there right at a month. And oh my, has God been moving in our new space. We had another one of those wild services today. I'll let you comment on that.
Healing abound.
Amen. Absolutely. Healing. Yes. Physical and emotional. You know, it's not just physical healing that God wants to do in us, but it is also emotional. And we're going to start today in Galatians 6, which we're just about finished. We will be finished today with the book of Galatians. But it really ties into what God is doing right now today in the church worldwide. He is calling the church to really become full of unity and love, because faith works by love. And so we're going to be talking about some verses in Galatians 6, if you want to grab your Bible. And we're also going to be going to Acts and the first part of Acts and the power of the Holy Spirit. Connie, I don't know about you. I do know about you. You love the power of the Holy Spirit moving in your life and in the lives of others, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it great?
Yeah, it's great. You can't... We can't imagine. I can't imagine life without it.
No.
Really?
No.
Because.
So powerful. Changes your life. And so that is a good segue into this new song that Megan sent and wanted on the show today. I hope you're listening, Megan. And you can call in whenever you're ready. And Cedric will let us know when you're on. But this is the song is This Is Our Moment by the group Mike's Chair. Was it you that was telling me how Mike's Chair got its name?
Jim.
Pastor Jim?
Mm-hmm.
All right. You want to share that? And what do you know about this song?
This song is from their new album, and I hadn't really heard it until Megan, you know, sent me the text. But apparently, I guess they were in college. All these guys were in college together.
Okay.
And they would get together. I don't know if they got together to sing or study.
Okay.
I don't remember what he said. But there was... Or he was, Mike was on a separate level than what the other guys were in the dorm or something.
Right, I think that was
it. So he brought a chair down to there so that when they got together, you know, he didn't have to keep dragging it down. So,
okay.
Anyway, so.
That's the name of the group, Mike's Chair.
It's Mike's Chair.
Right. So it's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
This Is Our Moment. What do you know about this song?
I don't know anything, but I like it.
I like it. Here we go. This Is Our Moment.
This is our moment. This
change everything. Ooh, do you believe that something is happening that could change everything? And the answer to that is, Connie, yes. I do.
Yes.
Okay? God is moving in our midst. I love those words, free to be so much more. Open our eyes, arms open wide.
It's
I love
challenge.
That song. It's a challenge, yes.
It's a battle cry.
It is. It is. Mm-hmm. And it's saying, you know, it's time. We can be more. I find that interesting because this series we've been teaching in Galatians for the last few weeks is free to be, .. free to be. Free to be more than we have ever been before. That's what it's all about. And that's what Galatians is talking about. In fact, in Galatians 5:1, Paul says, it is for freedom that Christ set us free. Then let's don't be entangled again by a yoke of bondage. And so all of this book, Paul is saying, let's get free, free from the past, free from the things that would entangle us. And I think so often we allow life and circumstances and situations and busy days and busy lives to keep us so bound up, I believe, Connie. Talk to me about that, because that's my life. I've lived for a long time. So
the
busy.
More bound up we are, the less we can do for the kingdom.
Absolutely.
And so the more burdened, tied down, screwed up, you know, agitated, whatever,
right.
Anything that causes a loss of peace.
Right.
That it just
well, it diverts our attention. I mean, it's a tactic of the devil. The devil's all about chaos and anxiety and panic and fear. Mm-hmm. That's what he's all about. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He's all about peace. So when you're walking in all of that chaotic lifestyle, that's exactly where the devil wants you. And he wants you to stay in that. Megan, are you on the line?
I'm with you, Pastor.
Hi. Yay.
Hi, Con.
How are you doing?
I'm wonderful. How are you guys?
Good.
Hey, did y'all know that Megan's pregnant?
Yes. Yippee!
Yeah, I got my M&Ms and nothing to drink, so I don't have to take multiple potty breaks.
All right, there you go. Aww. Well, how are you? How are you, pregnant one? And congratulations to you and Ben and little guy Andrew on this new addition that's going to happen here in the spring.
Yes, I'm doing very well. As they say, every pregnancy is different, but took a while to settle into the change that's coming. But we are embracing it and looking forward to the new angel that's coming into our life.
Ah, it's fantastic! Congratulations! I know that the birth of my little great granddaughters, Aaliyah and Briley, has certainly changed our whole family. But it's such a joy too. I mean, just a joy that they bring, new life. New life
exactly.
Just brings joy, you know?
Exactly. So,
and Mama, Grandma, Grandma Betty and Grandpa Joe, and of course Ben's parents, I'm sure are very excited about all this.
Yes, it's all very, very exciting, and we all can't wait. It's that waiting anticipation that drives you crazy.
It does, doesn't it? Isn't that the fun?
It does.
But you know, God in his wisdom did it all appropriately, you know, because think
he
about
sure
it.
Did.
If you never had a baby before, you don't have any of this stuff prepared. And most people can't just go out and buy an entire nursery,
no,
you know. So
no.
In his wisdom, he planned for the 9 months for the adjustment,
he sure did.
The adjustment between the husband and the wife and the, you know, just that whole growing together and, you know, enjoying that time and listening to the heartbeat and looking at the ultrasounds and, you know, and furnishing the nursery.
It's fun.
That's right.
Yeah.
All joyful anticipation.
Oh, it is. And Connie working in NICU and enjoys the babies at the hospital all the time, don't you?
Yeah. My girlfriend's 10 months old now.
Yeah. Your little girlfriend?
My little girlfriend, yeah. She's still hanging out with us. We're her family, you know.
Oh, you have a baby in the NICU that's been there 10 months?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
She's something else.
Wow.
Rotten.
Rotten.
Rotten. I feel sorry for her mother when she goes home. Because she has so many people in her room in and out.
So attention. She gets a lot of attention.
She is rotten. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. Well,
we keep telling her she can't go to kindergarten from here. So
yes, she needs
to
go
home
eventually.
Go
go home first.
Go home.
Well, it is a joy to have a baby coming. And you know what, Megan and Connie? It's a joy to live every day knowing that God has something. It's like a pregnancy where you're expecting something more and you know something's happening and you're in the process of birthing something new. I'm telling you, people, in the spirit, we are birthing some new things right now. We are birthing a fresh new awareness of Almighty God. I declare that in Jesus' name.
Yes.
We are birthing a new excitement about God and His Word and the Spirit of God and what God is doing. And Megan, Connie, and I just came from the nursing home because we do that the first Sunday of the month. Nathan and Sean
right.
and Pastor Jim, and we were all there. And Connie, tell Megan what it was like today.
I haven't been able to go for quite a few months because it's always fallen on my weekend to work. And by the time church is over, I need to go home and sleep before I go back to work. So it was good to see them again, but they were just so involved, so alert, so involved, and so thankful. And like Pastor said, they were, as we were going around singing I Love You with the Love of the Lord, they were reaching out and blessing us. So
it was amazing.
And we found out that one of the chicks that hangs out with us once a month is actually 105 years old.
105, oh Megan, 105.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
And it was just a joy. But you know, giving away the gospel, giving away love, like just happened at the nursing home at Palm Garden, is what the gospel's all about. It's not something for us to stay... You know, Megan, when you give birth to that child, when you give birth to that, then she will or he will be out there in this world and live their own life. You will have given something to this world, that child, that precious one. And that's the essence of the gospel, is giving. You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You know, and I think so often we get hung up in our own, I'm going to enjoy Jesus just for me and not give him away to anybody. I mean, comment on that, Megan, then I'll come to Connie on that, because I really think we get hung up on that.
Well, sure. And I question that, because who could be selfish when they want to share the joy and the love of the Lord?
Right.
And, you know, my son's in preschool, and his teacher paid him a very good compliment. Said that my son just really enjoys life, and that made me feel really good. That means that little boy sees joy in his family. He's
yes.
around joy constantly, and it's because of the love of the Lord, because we love him with the love of the Lord, and we need to share that with other people. And, you know, if you truly know the Lord and you allow yourself to know the Lord, you are so, your heart just overflows with compassion, joy, love, peace, and you want to go out and spread it. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you want to go out and attack people, but it just be nice to others and share your joy of life with other people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because we can be a helping hand. Connie, I know you are at the hospital. You get involved with these families there in the NICU. And for those of you who don't know what the NICU stands for, it means
neonatal intensive care unit.
Neonatal intensive care unit. Okay, so these are babies.
Sick babies,
yeah.
But it's funny, I just saw this as I was coming in today to the station. I was looking at a post, and Dara McLean is one of the Christian singers that we use her music. She's actually got a new CD out that we used some stuff, I think, last week or the week before. But she posted on Facebook, as believers, we are called... We are not called to be storage units and hoard the truth. We are called to make disciples. So when you said that, I couldn't remember who said it, but it was her pastor today in church, wherever she goes, Eagle Mountain.
Yeah. And that's Kenneth Copeland's ministry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she said Pastor George, so I don't know who that
is. Oh, okay.
But anyway, that, you know, we're not supposed to, I mean, it's not something... It's the same thing like we were doing at the nursing home. This little light of mine, we don't put it in a basket and cover it up. You have to let your light shine so
Amen.
That people can see it.
Amen.
Give them hope.
Regardless of differences between people, denominational differences or whatever, none of that matters. What matters is the love of Jesus. Oh, my. It's all about giving. In fact, that takes me to Galatians 6, and I just looked at this and really want us to go to verse 7. Don't be misled. No one makes a fool of God. What a person plants, he will harvest. The law of sowing and reaping. The person who plants selfishness, ignoring the needs of others, ignoring God, harvests a crop of weeds. All he'll have to show for his life is weeds. But the one who plants in response to God, letting God's Spirit do the growth work in him, harvests a crop of real life, eternal life. Harvesting and what you plant. Oh, my. Joy, planting joy, planting peace, planting love into other people's lives. And Megan, thank you. Your mom wrote a little note here on the internet just a minute ago. And by the way, we have it up. And if anybody else wants to comment here on, you can just write right now, pastor@bohmglobal.com, pastor@bohmglobal.com. But Betty sent a prayer praying for the McAllister family because we just lost my children's grandfather, not my dad. That was a few years back, but my ex-husband's dad, Jay McAllister, in Indiana this weekend, and who I was very close to, and all my kids are very close to. He was a farmer of 720 acres, you know, all his life. Started farming when he was three, he always said. And, you know, planting the crops. And I've driven that tractor in those fields with him. And I've been taught how to look behind and make sure your rows are straight, you know, so that the corn, the seeds go in correctly mm-hmm. and all that. Megan, and you're married to Ben the farmer. So, yep. You know, you're this farm thing, this sowing and reaping thing. Talk to me, and then we'll go back to Connie on this, because I think this is vital right now for where we are in this day, this new day that God is bringing us into in the Spirit.
Amen. Praise God. Farming, there are so many things that you have to be meticulous about. And one of the most meticulous things you have to be is with weeds.
Right.
And because if you let one seed in your field, you're in trouble.
I'll take over.
And once they start multiplying. And if you don't take care of them, they're never going to go away.
Oh,
so
boy.
If you allow a weed of anger into your field,
you're right,
and you don't take care of it, it's going to multiply.
Amen.
You're going to be miserable because weeds make plants miserable. So, you know, if you are an angry person or you're depressed, if you don't clean it out and let the Lord clean it out, clean you up, clean out your storage unit, then you're going to be miserable. And I don't know why anybody would want to stay in that position unless they're just too scared to change.
Well, I think fear is one reason. Part of it is the devil deceives
sure.
them. Connie, you have a comment right here on this.
Well, I think, you know, the devil will give us fear in anything.
Right.
And we have to hold on to the truth. We have to know what the truth is.
Right.
And know who the truth is and
yes.
be able to latch on and use him as our lifeline and call his name. We talked about that today.
Yeah.
We have, even if you don't remember any of the scriptures, you know the name of Jesus and you know that the blood of Jesus is what saves us. And so you call upon him.
Amen.
Just, even if it's just say Jesus.
Right.
He's there.
Amen.
But, you know, there's so much hopelessness in this world.
Yes.
That, you know, we can't afford to not share it and not lift each other up.
We need to be able to give it away. We need to be able to give hope and comfort and courage and patience and all those things that we need to be planting all those things in people's lives.
Well, and, you know, in my job and in your job,
yeah.
in a different sort of way, but in my job, those parents are looking to me for any sign of hope.
Right.
Any sign of change in expression on my face or, you know, or a smile
right.
or whatever
right.
in order to know that things might be okay.
Right.
And some of those babies, some of the people who come to you are so sick.
Yes.
Emotionally.
Yes.
And physically. But they're without hope.
Right. And we've got to be able to plant that hope into people's lives. That's a good mm-hmm. point. Megan, mm-hmm. talk to us about that because if a farmer goes out, if Ben goes out and you know, counsels a farmer, like I know he does, like my son Ryan does, and you go out and you get to the field and there's nothing there and Ryan or Ben say, well, where's your crop? Oh, well, you know, we were afraid it would be a bad year, so we just didn't plant, you know?
Right. Yeah, you know, that could be very true in people's Christian lives.
Right.
Is that they're too fearful of the change that could happen.
Right.
And
yes.
So they don't go through that. You know how we talked about walking through the door, and that first song we played talked about there's an open door.
Right.
This is your moment. You need to take it.
Yes.
And, you know, Pastor, so many people just ignore those open doors because they're so upset with their daily lives, and they don't see any glimmer of hope.
Right.
So it's just like Connie being in the NICU. You know, she's a glimmer of hope for those parents when
right.
she's in taking care of those babies, that, you know, that she's a joyful person and she's loving. And that means more to people than anything. I mean, even just smiling at people can show that you have love in your life and making them feel warm on the inside. It doesn't take this huge extension of yourself to share joy with people.
Well, I agree, but don't you think that the devil plays tricks on us and says, you don't know enough, you don't know enough verses memorized, you don't know enough this or that. And really what people want is a pat on the back or a hug or a, I'm praying for you. Go ahead, Connie, and then we'll go back to Megan.
Well, you know, I used to think, you know, my job is not the primary, I'm not the nurse for the patient. So the nurse is always in control of the whole patient.
You're the respiratory therapist.
Right.
Yeah.
So I used to think, you know, my role here is not, it's more of a secondary role. But
well, if they can't breathe, they're in pretty big trouble, right? That seems to be a pretty important role.
The motto of the American Lung Association is, if you can't breathe, nothing else matters.
There you go.
Anyway, I always call on that when I want to take control of something, you know.
That's a good point.
But anyway, you know, I feel like in the role that I play now in my job, I feel like I, the nurse is always ultimately in control.
Sure.
Bottom line, really, the physician's in control.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And we practice under their guidance. But so many times I have asserted myself into situations where maybe the nurse isn't quite as understanding or quite as, she just maybe new and doesn't understand, you know, she's probably, you know, 20 years old and
right.
never had a child, not been married and, you know, anything like that. So, you know, sometimes I assert myself in a little bit too much, but no.
Well, but showing the compassion and the love.
Yeah. And, you know, and then they may get mad at me or not, but I don't care because it's what the family needs at the time.
Right. Right.
That's the bottom line.
So what you're saying is what the world needs is that old song, love, sweet love.
We need to be people who are willing to give to other people who are in need.
Absolutely.
Bottom line.
Right.
And forgiveness. Let's go up to, we'll keep this concept of sowing and reaping. Go up to Galatians 6:1. And it talks about the community of believers live creatively, friends. I'm reading out of the Message Bible. If someone falls into sin, forgivingly restore him, saving your critical comments for yourself. You might be needing forgiveness before the day's out. Stoop down and reach out to those who are oppressed. Share their burdens and so complete Christ's law. If you think you're too good for that, you're really badly deceived. Wow. Talk to me, Megan. That's strong, those verses right there.
Yes, it is. It's very strong. And it may be a wake-up call to a lot of people when they hear those words, because there's an old saying, I'm probably not saying it right, but never judge someone because you don't know what battle they're going through. And
right. Yeah.
I think too much anymore, we judge other people's circumstances.
Sure, absolutely.
And then we use that to diversify ourselves from people. And it should be the total opposite.
Yeah.
We should be willing to help each other, just like it says in that first section of chapter 6, is live creatively.
Right.
So, I mean, you could take that massive amount of ways of living creatively. Is, you know, one day, instead of letting Satan suffocate you,
mm-hmm.
decide to wake up and say the name Jesus.
Right.
And let the Lord lead your day.
Right.
And, you know, you may be surprised what creative things might happen in your day and how much joy that you actually find.
I think that's huge. Live creatively is really saying, well, read it in your NIV, Connie. There are the first two verses.
Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently, but watch yourself or you may also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ.
Okay. So we're carrying people's burdens in prayer. We are carrying people's burdens by helping people forgive. Megan, talk to me about this. Live creatively. Go with that.
Well, for me, interpreting that would be, I'm a stay-at-home mom of a 3.5-year-old. So I had to let him lead the way of what he wants to do for the day because he's so independent, yada, yada, yada. Well, creatively, I cannot let myself get agitated at some of the little things that toddlers do because they're learning. And you have to be very patient. And, you know, if I don't give my day to the Lord and if I don't start out on the right path, then my day can be very destructive.
Right.
And I would rather my day be let the Lord make my day creative than to let my day be destructive. And being destructive, I mean by being angry at my son, and then it washes over into everybody. And I would rather be a happy, go lucky, live by the seat of your pants, because that's what you have to do when you give your life to the Lord, because we're not in control. You have
there
to
you
let
go.
And let the Lord walk you hand in hand down the path that you're supposed to go. And, I mean, that's my interpretation of living creatively.
And it's a lot more fun when you don't know what's going on.
It really is. Isn't it? When you don't know what's coming and you allow God to just move
through
you.
It's like walking through a fun house, because you never know what's coming your way.
Right. Okay.
Hopefully it's not something scary and bloody, but, you know, it's just like, and then when you sit back at the end of the day, you think, wow, what a ride this was today.
Exactly.
Can we do it again tomorrow?
Right.
Right.
Because how much better to live following the leading of the Holy Spirit on a daily basis, planting into people's lives, like Galatians 6 says, and then eventually seeing some of that harvest in maybe a few weeks later you hear they're doing better, or they're not as agitated, they're not as upset about something that was bothering them, they're more at peace, and you realize that you had a part, maybe a little mm-hmm. portion of that by allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you. Talk to us, Megan.
Yeah, you know, and the thing about that is we have to make sure that when we do that, just like it says down further in that scripture, it says that if you think you're too good for that, then you're boldly deceived.
And, yeah.
You know, if you think you're too good to help someone through a situation,
uh-huh.
then you tell me, have you not ever had a situation where you've had to reach out for somebody else's advice?
Because there you go.
I know everyone has. So as Christians, we should be ready and prepared every moment of the day to be willing to help whoever reaches out and asks for our help. And sometimes people just, they may not even reach out. They may just need it, you know, call it venting. But listening to them vent, then you can also give the Holy Spirit advice of, well, you know, I know you feel this way, but you really need to think about forgiving that person so that you can move on. You know, it
right.
may not make the situation better, but it'll heal your heart.
Right.
And, you know, maybe that person won't take your advice at the time, but I bet you further down the road that they're going to remember what you said.
Well, forgiveness is huge right here, don't you think?
Amen.
Starting in verse 7 of Galatians 6, don't be misled. No one makes a fool of God. What a person plants, this, all of this. And in response, planting in response to God, letting God's Spirit do the growth work, harvests a crop of eternal life. But this whole passage starts out with Paul talking about stooping down and reaching out to those who are oppressed, share their burdens, and so complete Christ's law. Don't be impressed with yourself and do your creative best to live each day. And I think this is what I think we so easily fall into a trap of living for just ourselves that day. What do I got to get done? And I'm a list maker. So, you know, everything, I like to have those things crossed off by the end of the day, you know, all those different things. But we got to, even with our crossing the things off on our list, we need to allow the Holy Spirit the freedom to say, here, I need for you to go do this, or I need for you to make this call, or I need for you to reach out to so-and-so. Connie, talk about this, and then we'll go back to Megan.
I had a really good thought, and it just went out of my head.
Okay. It'll come back.
Let Megan talk.
All right, Megan.
Well, you know, that's where you have a list. Oh, woo, come back to this, Connie.
I got to put my headset on tighter so it doesn't leak out.
Don't let it leak.
It came out of her ears, evidently. Yeah.
Is, if you're a list maker like you are, Pastor, is, you know that your day is going to get sidetracked.
Oh, yeah.
And,
oh, yeah.
You know, there's days when you don't get everything on your list completed.
Oh, wow. Every day, almost.
Oh, yeah. Same here. And it's like, I think people get so caught up in being control freaks
that
they're so obsessed with what they have to get done, and that they just keep walking and ignoring all of these signs that the Holy Spirit's giving them.
Yes.
That they could minister to people, and that they could also, as themselves, grow in their spirituality by letting the Holy Spirit speak through them to the person that they're ministering to, even if they don't even realize they're doing it.
Right. I was at the Causeway the other morning, which is where I like to hang out and talk to God and prepare for sermons. And I was just praying and just, you know, just getting into it and everything. And I just kind of looked down the beach a little ways. And there was this man that, I don't know how old this guy was, but he was up there. Okay. In age. And, he was sitting in a kayak on the shore, and he had gotten himself in there, but he couldn't get out into the water. He was scooting, you know, his body kind of moving it, but he could not get himself out into the water. So I saw he started to get out of his kayak, and then he just kind of slumped down, like that was even too much for him, because he had been, you know, pushing himself. And I'm watching all this, and the Lord said, go help him. And I said, oh, okay. I mean, why didn't I think about that the very first moment when I see him struggling like this, okay? So I walked around, walked out into the water to get down to where he was, because there was a boat park between us and all this, got down there. And I said, I'm going to push you out. And he goes, I forgot my life jacket. Can you go up there and get it? And I said, sure. So I go get his life jacket, help him get it on. And I'm thinking, and you're going to paddle? And you're going out there by yourself?
I'm thinking you're sending him out to die.
It was like scary stuff.
Maybe he didn't really want to go out there. That's what I was thinking.
I don't know. And I said, okay, you're ready for me to push? He goes, would you? And I said, oh, yeah. I gave him a big old push, and out he went.
Did you ever see him again?
Yeah, eventually he came back while I was
Praise
still
God.
There. Yeah, Connie's thinking I'm abusing old
no,
people.
No, I'm thinking he was trying to commit suicide.
Oh.
Send me out. Send me out.
Victimizing the elderly.
Yeah. Oh, my.
Just kidding.
But, you know, seriously, I mean, it was funny as it was happening. And I thought, boy, this is interesting, because I was so caught up in, quote unquote, doing good, praying, doing what I was doing, that I really didn't hardly notice how long, I don't know how long he had been sitting there trying to get out in the water. It was just...
Excuse me, go help him. You're just rambling it on. He's like going, waiting for you to at least take a breath so you can say, Marsha, go help that guy.
So I pushed him out to places unknown. So anyway, but don't you think, Megan, I mean, we got caught up in our silliness because we love the three of us to be totally silly here. But don't you think so often that's a metaphor for us? We don't even see the need that's right there in front of us.
Exactly. And it's because I think that we're so blinded by our own thoughts and our own self that we don't hear anybody talking to us besides ourselves.
Right.
And it's like, you know, even with you sitting there on the beach praying, you know, praying. And worshiping the Lord, it's like, okay, Marcia, wait a minute, hold on, listen. And it's like,
take a breath.
You got to do something to get your attention. You know what I mean? And whether it's you hear a voice or maybe,
knocks her out of her chair.
Gets quiet. I mean, some way, somehow, the Lord is always going to get your attention.
Oh, boy. He sure did.
He's always looking for the hearts of his children.
Amen. Which brings me to this song, Connie. Natalie Grant, Only You. Tell us about this song, Connie.
Well, this is one of Natalie's older songs, and we've used it before a while ago. It's been a while. And when I'm looking for music, I just kind of click on things, and I have this one sound program, and so it starts playing it when you click on it.
Okay.
Before, you know, if you double click, then it opens it up and all that. So, and I cannot honestly tell you what the first few words are of this song, but they hit me between the eyes.
Okay. All right, let's hear it.
I said, okay, this is next one.
This is it. Only You by Natalie Grant.
Only you could string a strand of stars like dewdrops in the sand. Only you. To life with just a touch of your hand. Only you could be the flame that puts the love light in my eyes. And you can take the wrong in me and somehow
praise God. That's a good song. I like that song. It's Only You. It's all about Jesus. Let's go to Luke chapter 3 and look at verse 16. John the Baptist was out baptizing and people were saying, oh, isn't he great? Look what he's doing. He's baptizing people in water. And he was a spectacle because of the way he looked and the things he said and all the hundreds of people that he was water baptizing. And he looks up in Luke Luke 3:16, and he says, I'm baptizing you here in the river. But the main character in this drama, boy, this just was a perfect segue from that song. It's only you. The main character in this drama, to whom I'm a mere stagehand, will ignite the kingdom life. This is Luke 3:16. John starts talking about Jesus. He will ignite the kingdom life, a fire, the Holy Spirit within you, changing you from the inside out. He's going to clean house, make a clean sweep of your lives. He'll place everything true in its proper place before God. Everything false, he'll put out with the trash to be burned. Oh my, this is talking about Jesus and what Jesus was going to do. And John the Baptist was the forerunner for the Messiah. And we know that John the Baptist baptized Jesus. If you go down to verse 21 of Luke 3, after all the people were baptized, Jesus was baptized. I think that's cool. He stood in line and waited till everybody else was baptized. As he was praying, the sky opened up, and the Holy Spirit, like a dove descending, came down on him. And along with the Spirit, a voice, you are my son, chosen and marked by my love, pride of my life. Now, let's go over to Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Now Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. Okay, now the Holy Spirit has descended on him as John the Baptist water baptized him. The Holy Spirit fell on him. So Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Now Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And for 40 days he went through the temptations. And we know about that. And we won't talk about that right now. But when he came back out of that 40-day trial, some of you out there, I'm going to give you this word prophetically. Some of you have been going through some real trials in your life, and you think it's never going to end. And God is saying to you today, dear listener, that you've been going through a wilderness time. You've been going through a time of searching and saying, God, why is this happening? And why is that happening? And I don't understand why this person said this or did this. And the Holy Spirit is saying, the wilderness time, you're coming out of that, and you're coming out full of the power of the Holy Spirit like Jesus was. And it says in Luke 4:14, Jesus returned to Galilee powerful in the Spirit. And then he stands up and preaches his first sermon. Okay, so here's my point, Megan and Connie. There are so many times that we forget that really it's all about him. That song, Only You. It's only you, God. Really, you're the one, you're the source in our lives that changes us. You're the one that brings us out of wilderness times. You're the one that gives us a reason for living. And as we allow the Holy Spirit to control us, we are changed by his power. Talk, Connie, and then we'll go back to Megan.
Well, my favorite line was in that first verse. You're the one that can take all the wrong.
Yes.
In me.
Yes.
And make it right.
Woo. Amen. Amen. That's the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. Absolutely.
That just always catches me.
Oh, it's just wonderful. Megan, talk to us.
Well, before I got on the radio, I have this plaque at my house, and it was from, it talks about Jeremiah 29:11.
Yeah.
And to those people that are in the wilderness that don't know where they're going or when they're going to come out, this scripture says, it's probably verse 11, I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future that you hope for.
Woo.
That's one of the many proofs through the Bible that no matter what wilderness you're going through or that you're entering into,
right,
that just keep your hand in the hand of the Lord and keep your faith and pray.
Amen.
He will lead you out victorious. Just like Jesus came back victorious in the Holy Spirit when he was tempted by Satan for 40 days, he came back ready to preach and ready to do the work that his Father had set him to do.
Oh, he came back full of it. Full of the power of Almighty God. You want to refresh that? We have the internet up right now. If any of you want to comment, you want to question or anything, you can go on the internet and just email pastor@bohmglobal.com. BOHM standing for Beacon of Hope Ministries. So pastor@bohmglobal.com. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus tells the disciples in verse 7 that he's going to heaven, and he said, but wait here for what was promised, because here's what's going to happen. At when the right time, you will receive the Holy Spirit, and this is about verse 7 of Acts 1. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will be able to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, over all Judea and Samaria, even unto the ends of the world. Some people out there, and you may be one of them, dear listener, think that you don't have anything to offer people, that you have no ability. We talked about this earlier, that you don't, you say, well, I don't think I know any scripture. I don't know how. I can tell you, Connie, from just being at the nursing home just now, just us being there, ministered to those people, they kept thanking us for coming. You know, and we weren't able to go this past month. First time I think we've missed a month in 3 years.
They're one of the most omitted, that's not the right word, part of society.
Yes.
They're the one that has always been left behind.
Right.
They, you know, it's almost as if once you get to be a certain age, you're not of any value. And I think that you know, us being there shows
right.
them that somebody cares enough about them to show up.
Oh, amen. And what happens when we get there, I don't know about you, but I just get so happy to be there, so thrilled. And that's the Holy Spirit causing us to be witnesses right there, even in just singing Sunday school songs. I mean, it is, Megan talked to us about this, because it's amazing what happens to us when we go. And I hope that sometime you can be with us, Megan, on one of those services.
I would love to do that. I don't know what, but ever since I've been little, I've always been drawn to elderly people.
Is that how come you like Connie and I?
It is, you know, because you two are so, you know, you're not elderly. Come on. Anyway.
I'm not.
Neither one of you are.
I hope you caught that. She said she wasn't.
I did. I caught it.
She's in big trouble. But anyway.
And, you know, I think it's because, you know, here they are, you know, they've lived their life, and but there's still those people that are young at heart. And, you know, it doesn't matter when you go to the nursing home what you have planned, because you're there to share God's love. And,
amen.
You know, whether it's through praise and worship, holding one of their hands, giving them a hug, you bless those people beyond measure, because a lot of people in those circumstances, and it's so unfortunate that they get put in nursing homes, and whether their family be gone or their family is too busy to visit with them, that it's just like any other human being. All we want is to be loved.
Right.
And if we can share that with each other through the nursing home, then that is such an abundant blessing. And I know it would be so joyful to see their faces, because I know they just have to light up when you guys are there, because they see the love coming through the door.
Well,
and it would just be so cool to see it.
You know, Connie and I were talking about this one lady that was sitting over by Connie that has a smile on her face all the time. But we've later found out that's the way her face is now. She's had strokes and whatever. But she sang every verse to every song that we sung, all the old Sunday school songs and How Great Thou Art and Jesus Loves Me and all that, but yet she is not capable of carrying on a conversation at all.
Wow.
But yet she can sing every verse and knows those. My mother was like that. My mom got to the point that she could sing or recite verses of scripture, but she couldn't carry on a conversation. She could only answer questions here or there. This lady doesn't even do that, but she can sing those songs. Isn't that amazing to me? How that's planted deep within her.
Yep, power of the Holy Spirit.
Woo!
Wow.
It certainly is. Go ahead, Connie, did you want to comment on that? No, she's just smiling.
I was thinking that, you know, so many of these people are just so alone, and nobody comes to see them. And I remember when after my grandmother died, my aunt, they lived together all of their lives. And then my aunt was left, and she had cerebral palsy. And I just remember I bought her some of the tapes of some of the older shows, the radio shows, and
right.
Joey Bishop show.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, some of the Johnny Carson stuff she lot. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And so she would, you know, sit there and listen to him.
Right.
And, and watched videos and stuff. And you know, when people don't have anybody that cares about them, you know, just I just
we need to reach out.
Yeah, that's what causes hopelessness.
Well, and what Jesus said to the disciples was, the Holy Spirit's going to come on you, and you're going to be able to be my witnesses. You're going to have, you're going to live creatively. You're going to have ideas on how to help others. We're going to get on with this discussion in our second hour. I cannot believe it's 4 o'clock already. This is ridiculous. Time flies when you're having this much fun, Megan. I'll tell you. And we just welcome you to use our website and get in there and explore it. www.beaconofhopeministries.com. Last week, Carol and Maxine were here. Maxine's our webmaster. They were actually here in the studio live, first time that they've ever done that. And we talked a little bit about our website. Maxine, in particular, I helped a little, but it was mostly Maxine. Totally revamped it in February. It's cool, isn't it, Connie? Mm-hmm. It's really user-friendly. Mm-hmm. And that's where all these radio shows are stored. Connie, talk to us about the prayer line and prayers at bohmglobal.com. Why should people use that, and what? Where is it?
Well, if you want an answer to prayer, you should. if you want your prayers answered.
Did you
answered,
hear that, Megan? If you want your prayers
to
answered.
The prayers at bohmministriesglobal.com.
bohmglobal.com. Right.
Seriously, we have so many people around the country. And at some points, they were outside of the country because we had a lot of people in the military who were stationed outside of the United States. But on the prayer team, and you just send a request to prayers at bohmglobal.com, and it automatically goes out to the ones who will write the prayers, and then they write a prayer and send it out to the prayer team. So if you want to be a part of being a prayer, all you do is send an email to that same address, prayers@bohmglobal.com, and say, I want to be one of the prayers.
Yeah.
And
use it. I mean, Megan, you guys up in Indiana use the prayer line all the time, don't you?
Sure do. In fact, I just sent one in a couple of days for a family friend that had a baby that was born 10 weeks premature, and I put him on the prayer list, and we have a praise report. Little guy's breathing on his own, mm-hmm. and he's no longer jaundiced, and he's gaining weight. So
praise God.
Tell you what, prayer works, people.
It does. And I tell you, Jim PJ tries to write down all these answers and keep record of them, but it's amazing, Connie. I mean, there a few weeks ago, and I mentioned this day several times, but we hit a high water mark, I think, on the prayer requests in one on a Saturday. There were 18 mm-hmm. that came in, and that's a lot from different places. Usually it's one or two here, one or two there, but it's amazing. More and more people are finding out. In Georgia, we got a whole group of people there that send their requests to prayers at bohmglobal.com. So you don't have to be a part of Beacon of Hope to use that prayer line. However, we do invite you, if you want to become a financial partner with us, go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. Go to PayPal. And if this is your church, if this is where you hear the word of God, give your tithes, give your offerings. Go on to beaconofhopeministries.com and use our PayPal system and give financially to support this outreach and the work of BOHM Global. Here we go. Station ID.
WTAN Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
All right. We're glad we're on all those stations. Amen. So welcome to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries, second hour, every Sunday, 2 hours, 3 to 5. We've been going 2 hours for years now. And you just heard us say, if you're listening, that it really goes by very quickly for us. It may not for you, but it does for us, doesn't it,
Connie? It just flies by.
Well, we get talking about the Lord, and it's so much fun. If you are just joining us, let's get your Bible and let's go to Acts 3 and maybe the end of Acts 2 here. And we're going to talk about some important things. Let's go to this song by Sanctus Real. Tell me about this group and this song, whatever you're doing is the title of it.
This group is really becoming more and more popular. They're just phenomenal songwriters. And this song is a couple years old. I heard it at Winter Jam 2 years ago. It'll be in January. And they're just right on.
Right on. Whatever you're doing, let's go.
It's time for healing, time to move on. It's time to fix what's been broken too long. Time to make right what has been wrong. It's time to find my way to where I belong. There's a way.
Something, Holy Spirit. You're up to something.
Whatever you're doing.
Whatever you're doing, it's time for healing. Time to make right what's been wrong. I love that. God's up to
time
something.
Time to move on.
We're going back to Luke 3. I just found that passage I was looking for. And it's back in Luke 3 again, verses 16 and 17. The Holy Spirit's saying, let's go back there. John the Baptist is baptizing, and it says, I'm baptizing you here in the river. The main character in this drama, to whom I'm a mere stagehand, will ignite the kingdom life, a fire, the Holy Spirit within you, changing you from the inside out. He's going to clean house, make a clean sweep of your lives. He'll place everything true in its proper place before God. Everything false, he'll put out with the trash to be burned. Whoa, there was a lot more of this. Words that gave strength to the people. Words that put heart in them. The message. Megan, talk to me. Is that not powerful right there? What John the Baptist says about the work of the Holy Spirit, what it's going to do in our lives?
Amen. It should be an attention getter is what it should be, and that's what it was back then. And you
clean
know,
house. Make a clean house, you know?
That's exactly right. And, you know, if we would let the Lord sweep us clean and fulfill our hearts with his love and his joy, our lives would make a drastic change. And but to get to that point, a lot of us need to vocalize our fears and give them to the Lord so that we can get rid of them, so that we can allow him to clean house. Because if we're harboring fears or other things, then we're not going to allow the Lord to fully come in and clean house and let the Holy Spirit take over.
Oh, I know. I know recently I was up in Indiana, Megan, and I came to see your beautiful home that you have on the market now that you're selling. And I know you said you'd been doing a whole lot of things. You had changed cabinet color and you'd done a bunch of things. And down in the basement, you'd been working on stuff, right? And
yep.
You were just getting things in tip-top shape, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. This is what the Holy Spirit does. And I had never been in your home. I've been in your home where you used to live with your mom and dad years ago, but not ever seen the home that you established with Ben. And I, from what I saw, unless I'm just not seeing it correctly, you're a very good housekeeper, and everything was in the right place and very clean and very, which I would imagine, Connie, wouldn't you, from Megan?
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is what it was.
Absolutely.
It was really cool. It was really cool. But it's like the Holy Spirit wants things in proper order in our lives.
Right.
He wants us cleaned up. And I'll tell you, it's too easy to harbor unforgiveness and resentment and fear and anger and on and on. Don't you think? Connie, talk to me and then we'll go back to Megan.
Well, if you think about when soldiers are called to roll call.
Okay.
An inspection.
All right. Never been a soldier, so I'm going to take your word for
it. It just came to me, you know, how they stand at attention at the foot
point.
Of their bunk.
Right.
And they get inspected.
Right.
Because for whatever reason, the military believes that if you have your house in order.
Right. That's a good point.
That you are in order.
Hmm.
And so they look at how you're dressed, how you keep your house.
Ooh, that's a good point.
And that tells them what kind of a soldier you're going to be as far as orderly conduct.
Right.
So
discipline, self-control. Mm-hmm. These are the things, the fruit of the spirit, mm-hmm. you know, the self-control and all those things. Megan, talk about that. That's a good metaphor, Connie.
It is. And I don't know. I just got led to 2 Corinthians chapter 5.
Okay.
If I can read it, if you don't care.
You may.
It says, for instance, we know that when these bodies of ours are taken down like tents and folded away, they will be replaced by resurrection bodies in heaven. God made, not handmade, and we'll never have to relocate our tents again. And it's just, and then it goes on to say in verse 6, that's why we live with such good cheer. You won't see us drooping our heads or dragging our feet. Cramped conditions here don't get us down. They only remind us of the spacious living conditions ahead.
Woo!
It's what we trust in, but don't yet see, that keeps us going. Do you suppose a few ruts in the road or rocks in the path are going to stop us? When the time comes, we'll be plenty ready to exchange exile for homecoming.
Woo!
Wow. It just goes back to those people that are stuck in the woods. You know, we don't, as Christians, if we have the Holy Spirit in our lives, we don't let those situations get us down.
Right.
We get up like a soldier, like Connie was talking about, ready for inspection.
Right.
We are ready to march through that forest with the angels of heaven and with our Heavenly Father. We're ready to fight any battle that's thrown at us.
Absolutely. Not saying that we always react perfectly or always answer correctly or whatever, but the attitude of the heart, God looks at the motives. He looks at our hearts, okay? And I love that you just brought up. And you don't even know, Megan, that we started the nursing home ministry today talking about letting go of our earthly bodies and that God had this new body. In fact, we were talking about our new bodies that we're all going to be cute.
Cute.
We're all going to be cute, and they got a kick out of that, knowing that. But we are. I mean, because our heavenly body, not only is it going to be totally healthy, not deformed and not crippled in any way and not sick or in pain, but it is also going to be in his likeness, and we're going to, it's going to be great. Thank you for bringing that up. And that's what the Holy Spirit is doing in us. He is doing a renewal process. He's doing a cleansing. He's Mr. Clean himself, okay?
Right.
He comes in, and I don't know, but I know about you, Megan. I started to say I don't know, but I do know from being in your home, you love things clean. I do, too. And
yes, I
believe the Holy Spirit likes things clean. And he goes to the trouble of rooting out the weeds. Let's go back to the weeds in the farmland, Connie. Let's go back to those weeds. You grew up in Ohio. You mm-hmm. grew up in cornfields, just like I did. In it, you know. So
all I know is I had to mow the lawn, and when the weeds were overgrowing the grass, it wasn't good.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. The weeds were, and they
the
were,
sidewalks.
And they grow taller than the grass. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Weed just goes crazy. Talk to us about that, Megan, because I think a lot of us walk through life just full of the weeds, just absolutely crowding out the good things that God has for us.
Yeah, and, you know, I think sometimes that it's easier to let the weeds grow than it is to admit your fear that you don't want to change. It's easy to just let the weeds grow. It's like, oh, there's another one, just let it go. And it's like, no, you know, if you want to live an eternal life, you got to cut the weeds down and you got to keep them away and you got to let the Holy Spirit come in and be Mr. Clean and, you know, clean the nooks and crannies of every corner in your life. And I mean, I just hope for anybody listening to this that they can step out and tell the devil that you're under my feet because I'm a child of God, and
Amen.
I deserve to clean these weeds out of my life, and I deserve to be cheerful, and to let him know that you're a soldier for God and that you're taking your stand today.
Amen.
You've had enough.
Well, in keeping with the theme of Galatians 6, and in this respect here with Luke 3, where the Holy Spirit is saying through John that the work of the Holy Spirit is cleanup. It's Mr. Clean. In Galatians 6, Paul is saying, guys, we got to lovingly restore each other. That's always the goal, to forgive, to not harbor unforgiveness, resentment. The weeds, like you're talking about, Megan, those are those things in our lives that we allow to grow, 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 and crowd out love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness. It's the junk of Galatians chapter 5, those things in our lives that are all revolve around self, you know, all of that, you know. I tell you, we have got to learn to submit to the cleanup process. Connie, do you want to comment on that before I go back to Megan?
Well, the longer you let weeds grow, the stronger they get. Well,
that's true.
And the stalk gets deeper.
Yeah.
And the roots get deeper. And so then you can't get them pulled out as fast, and it takes more work. And I think sometimes we just give up because so much work.
Right.
And, you know, you just kind of get complacent and let them grow, not knowing that they're going to overtake you.
Right.
Or maybe you do know.
Well, some weeds look like a flower.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Carol and Maxine were staying with me last weekend because they came for our anniversary. And around the back of my house, my brother-in-law has planted beautiful plants and flowers, but he's been ill lately and he has not been back to weed and to put weed killer on some of those things. And some things have grown up. And Carol stood there and she said, you got some weeds here with amongst those beautiful plants. And I said, I know, I need to get out and pull them out. Now, she said, one of the ways you can tell that it's a weed is clear at the bottom of the stalk. It's going to be a pretty color. Which I thought was very deception. Interesting, like a purple reddish color.
Deception.
Mm. Deception.
Yes.
And so often she said people will look at that color. And now Carol's she's an old farmer from ever, a rancher actually. Mm-hmm. She said people will look at that color and think, oh, that must be a plant, because sometimes these weeds will put out little flowers on them. Mm-hmm. I got some weeds growing that look halfway pretty. You know, do you know what I'm saying? Megan, talk to me about this. You get the point.
I do. And it's Satan's way of, you know, technically speaking of these weeds, is to make them look like they're not a problem when they really are.
When they really are.
Yes, because weeds starve the true healthy plant.
Amen.
So if you've got nasty weeds in your garden, but, you know, they're purple around the bottom, you might want to check your garden a little bit better, because you keep maybe wondering why your life's not going the way it's supposed to. Well, maybe you need to go back and check your garden and weed it out again. And refresh it so that it will grow the way that it's supposed to.
Oh, amen. Mm-hmm. And that's the theme of Galatians 6. And it's really the theme here in Luke 3, where John the Baptist says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to be Mr. Clean in your life. He's going to show you the things that have to be rooted out. He's going to tell you how weeds choke out the truth. And, oops, it looks like your mama has just written us something here. Megan, what'd she say, Connie? And by the way, you can get in on this discussion by going to pastor@bohmglobal.com.
Won't open.
Something about weeds. Open. There we go.
Some weeds that look like flowers can be deceptive, poisonous, and can harm you.
Aha. Uh-huh. Well, that's exactly right. Mm-hmm. And that's coming from somebody who just had poison ivy really bad. Right?
Mm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we got to be more discerning. We got to pray for discernment, and we've right. got to be brave. We got to be courageous, and because I'll tell you, this next song that I felt strongly that needed to be on the show today. Now I know why. I didn't know why when I felt it by Casting Crowns. It's called City on a Hill. It's about a local body of believers, really. Mm-hmm. Maybe 2,000 years ago, maybe now. A body of believers where one gets jealous of somebody's talent or their ability, or they think, oh, the pastor loves so-and-so more, or that kind of stuff. Megan, talk to me about this song, and then I'll get to Connie about her comment on it, too. Mm-hmm. City on a Hill, before we play it.
Well, I always listen to my phone because I've got a lot of Christian music on it, and the song came on this morning, and I had to listen to it two or three times. I mean, it's amazing that, you know, how the Holy Spirit works. But
you've heard this song before, right?
Oh, yes, ma'am. And it speaks a lot of truth, because it talks about how so many differences of people can bring a body of believers down.
Right.
And if we don't get past that, and nurture the church and nurture each other the way that we're supposed to, then churches aren't going to flourish the way that the Lord wants them to, because we're so caught up in everybody's differences that we can't unite as one body.
Amen.
And believe in our Heavenly Father.
That's it. Connie, comment.
Just sometimes churches, when they talk about city on the hill, sometimes churches set them up as being the example.
Mm-hmm.
And when you actually go inside the doors, they're no different than anybody outside the doors.
Right.
But they try to hide it some way or another. And instead of letting people understand that they're just human beings. And I think that's when we fall the hardest, is when we set ourselves up to being so good and so righteous.
Right.
And knowing that inside our guts are just tearing apart,
mm-hmm.
and people in churches are tearing each other apart, and so it's, you know, it's the city on the hill.
Listen to this song; it's great, by Casting Crowns.
Shine bright and it would be shining still, but they all started turning on each other. Mm-hmm. You see, the poets thought the dancers were shallow, and the soldiers thought the poets were weak, and the elders saw the young ones as foolish, and the rich man never heard the poor man speak. And one by one they ran away with their made-up minds to leave it all behind. And the light began to fade in the city on the hill, the city on the hill. Each one thought that they knew
They were different by design. Instead of standing strong together, they let their differences divide. And one by one, they ran away with their made-up minds to leave it all behind. And the light began to fade in the city on the hill. The city on the hill. And the world is searching still. But it was the rhythm of the dancers that gave the poets life. It was the spirit of the poets that gave the soldiers strength to fight. It was the fire of the young ones. It was the wisdom of the old. It was the story of the poor man that made it to be told. That gives the poets life. It is the spirit of the poets that gives a soldier strength to fight. It is the fire of the young ones. It is the wisdom of the old. It is the story of the poor man that's needing to be told.
One by one, we run away with our made-up minds. You know, that's, the light begins to fade. I love that song. Megan, talk about it. Connie, you want to talk about it?
I like the end of it where it starts talking about how the fire from the young people helped
right.
fuel
yeah.
the elders and
right
and how if you just open your eyes and see that everybody has a role to play
yes
in a piece of the pie in order to make things happen.
Absolutely. Everybody has a voice. Everybody is needed in their own unique way. Sheila came back to church today. We haven't seen her mm-hmm. for quite a while, and she has mm-hmm. a trumpet that she plays, and she's had some health problems, and it's hard for her to get enough air to blow that trumpet. But even just the little bit that she did play it today on a few songs, what a blessing.
Yeah, it was great.
It was great.
Just, yeah, and she's good anyway. You
she's
know?
Good.
I mean, it's...
And she enjoyed doing that, and that was mm-hmm. her contribution. You know, it was really mm-hmm. cool. Megan, talk to us about this City on a Hill.
Well, you know, it's just like Connie said, it takes the fire of the young and the wisdom of the old. And it takes a diverse group of people that makes up the body of
yes.
of Christ. And that's what we need to embrace in our churches is that, you know, even though that you might think that someone might be a little odd, that doesn't matter. God created them the way that they are, and they have something to give to the church. And we should be willing to embrace to find out what that is that makes them unique and makes them special to the Lord, because we're all created differently for a reason. We all have a different purpose and a different path that we're supposed to go down. And we need to stop judging each other in amongst the body of believers, because that brings people down, and it's destructive, and it will create a destructive path through the churches. And this is the time. This is like as the song played in the beginning. This is the moment that we
right.
need to.
Yeah.
We need to light the fire down in our soul, and we need to live with that with abandon. We need to. We need to throw all of our trash out the door, and we need to start fresh.
Amen.
Because you know the time is coming that the Lord is coming back.
Amen.
We need to be cleansed, Pastor. We need to be ready.
Yes.
To take our stand in heaven and take up our eternal life.
Right.
And quit worrying about what we're dealing with here on earth that, you know, that it's just so horrible. But, you know, we need to focus on where we're going and why we're going through what we're going through is so that we can grow and be stronger in the Lord so that we are We are ready to fight for anything that comes our way.
Absolutely. And I think too often we get so preoccupied with our problems. We become problem-centered instead of solution-centered. We concentrate, we focus in on the problem. We get so so centered on that we cannot see that God is using that problem to cause us to believe him and trust him in the midst of the problem. Because problems are there for a reason. God uses problems to cause us to rely on him and to learn to trust him. I mean, problems are a gift. And well, James says in James 1:2, consider it all joy, my friends, when you encounter tests and trials of any sort, knowing that the proving of your faith brings about endurance and patience and all this stuff. And we don't look at it that way in our natural fleshly selves, Connie. We get too hung up on our problems.
Well, you know, right now, I think there's a huge surge in people who are running. And, you know, the whole thing, no pain, no gain. You know, you can't run and you can't advance and increase the amount that you're running unless you have a little pain.
Right. You're talking about physically jogging, running,
yes, running,
like Megan used to.
Yeah. Aren't you still running?
Not right now, no.
So, you know, and that's a discipline in itself.
Right.
To make yourself go and run and or exercise.
Right.
But there's I know with a lot of people that I work with, they're in this big push now, a whole mess of them that are walking and running 5Ks a lot.
Right.
I mean, they're just signing up for them left and right.
Right.
And they're here in our area a lot of times for various causes. So
good point. No pain, no gain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the pain in our lives is centered around the problems that so often we try to dodge. Mm-hmm. We try to put our covers back over our head and roll over and not get up that day or mm-hmm. not face situations that need to be faced. Instead, we just want to hide out and not deal with things. Megan, talk to me about this. As young as you are, you realize the value in facing issues and dealing with them, correct?
Exactly. And I can even chalk this up to, you know, the Lord that's giving us another child. It's like, whoa, I don't know if I'm ready for this. And it's like, you know, you had a couple weeks that you're just in total shock. But then it's like, okay, this is great. This is cool. The Lord's blessing us, you know, and it would have been so much easier just to, you know, and it's same with other people's situations. It's so much easier just to lay down in bed and cover up your head with a blanket so that you don't have to deal with it.
Right.
And, you know, when you do that, you're not allowing the Lord to work. You're not coming out and facing the trial. You're just going to lay down and let Satan beat you up. And because that's exactly where he wants all of us is
exactly
underneath his grip and underneath his control. So, you know, just like Connie talking about soldiers earlier, you know, rip the blankets back, put your armor on and start fighting for your life, start fighting for your joy and grabbing for the things that you deserve in your life. And that's all those things that the Lord promises you is, you know, joy, peace, free of fear, free of depression, everything.
Amen.
We need to stand up and claim it instead of laying down and burying it.
Woo.
Well, you know, none of us are getting out alive.
Right.
And so why not live with abandonment and just enjoy life every minute of every day? And the only way to do that is with Jesus.
Right.
Right.
Oh, my. Right on. And getting caught up in like this argument, I mean, City on a Hill is talking about people who misunderstand each other's gifts and their abilities and a poet thinks different than a warrior and an old person thinks much differently than a young person. But God designed the body of believers to be united. And let's go to Acts here for just a moment and talk about this, because I want to go to Acts 2 after Peter's big sermon where 3,000 people got saved. I want to go to Acts 2, verse 43. Everyone around was in awe all those wonders and signs done through the apostles. Now, the wonders and signs are miracles. Those are healings. Those are people being set free from demonic oppression. Those are, people being healed in their physical body, etc. And all the believers lived in a wonderful harmony, holding everything in common. They sold whatever they owned and pooled their resources so that each person's need was met. They followed a daily discipline of worship in the temple, followed by meals at home. I'm in verse 46 of Acts chapter 2. Every meal was a celebration, exuberant and joyful as they praised God. People in general liked what they saw. Every day their number grew as God added to those who were saved. And that's the early church, the picture of the early church. And let's go over to chapter 4. In about verse 23 of Acts, where Peter and John have been jailed because they dared to proclaim that Jesus Christ was the healer of that man, that crippled man in Acts 3, where he's looking up to Peter and John for a financial gift. And Peter says, "Gold and silver have I none. What I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus. Rise and walk." And because Peter did that, reached out his hand, and the lame man took Peter's hand and jumped up and walked into the temple and jumping and praising and leaping and praising God, it caused a huge uproar. So they end up in jail. Now, they get out of jail, miraculously. You can read Acts 4 and read all about that. But it's interesting that they got out because of unity. Okay, they got out because people united in prayer. They got out of there in that sticky situation because there was a group of believers who were believing God for their release. And one heart and one mind, my Bible says in the Message Bible, at the beginning of Acts chapter 4, verse 23, as soon as Peter and John were let go from prison, they went to their friends and told them what the high priests and religious leaders had said. And hearing the report, they lifted their voices in wonderful harmony in prayer. And I made this point this morning. I want to make it again on the radio today. There's two things they did. Number one, they prayed the word. Okay, they prayed the word here. And the second thing they did is they claimed bold confidence, fearless confidence, down in verse 28. And after they were praying the word, which is what we have to do, it says, take care of their threats. Give your servants fearless confidence in preaching your message. That is what we need to be doing. We need to be praying the word. And if you don't have a book, The Prayers That Avail Much by Jermaine Copeland, you need to go buy one, because that is praying the scripture over every situation in your life. It is probably one of the best sources for prayer that you will ever find anywhere. I'm going to tell you that name again. Prayers That Avail Much by Jermaine Copeland. It will change your life. These people prayed the word, and then they claimed fearless confidence. What do you think about all that, Megan?
I think it's a miracle.
It is a miracle.
Prayer brings miracles. And
amen.
When we pray and when we proclaim and we believe and we have faith, Pastor, things change. We all know that.
Right.
And that's what we need to do, is we need to pray boldly. We need to pray with confidence.
Amen.
And we need to proclaim these changes, that even if you want changes in your life, you can proclaim them over yourself.
Yes.
And
yes.
Just like you said, if you don't have the Prayers Avail Much book, get it, because it will help you pray for any situation.
Amen.
And just like it did for those two disciples, that prayer changed their circumstances.
Amen.
And it united a body of people.
Well, and there's prayers in that prayer book about unity, too. If you are going to a fellowship or a body of believers that there's a lot of strife, start praying that prayer over that, over your body of believers. But it all comes down to us walking in forgiveness, guys. It comes down to the fact that all of us are going to see things differently. In a church, in a family, in a relationship, in a job situation, we're going to have different opinions. Connie, talk to me about that, because that's human nature. Don't you think we're going to see things differently?
Everybody comes from a different perspective just because of who they have been in the past.
Right.
People are raised differently. People are taught different values, taught to value things differently than others.
Right.
So you come with a different, you have a set of values that you're, that you come to the table with no matter where you're going, whichever
right.
table you're coming to. If you're, you know, maybe a work ethic, or maybe, you know, behavior in church, or maybe, I mean, it could be playing a sport. You know, you have your own ways that you were taught, right, wrong, indifferent. They're yours.
We're the product of everything that's happened to us prior to this moment, right?
Right.
So we're all different. We acknowledge our differences. We acknowledge that we see things differently. Megan, talk to us about this.
Well, you know, we're all a product of our past. And some of us let that control what we are and how we are now. And I'm sure that everybody grew up and had a bad circumstance happen, or they say that there's something that was dysfunctional in their life. But, you know, when you let the Lord into your life, you can let go of those past circumstances, and you can actually use those past circumstances to minister to other people, to say, look
yeah.
what I've come through and look how I've come out thanks to the Lord.
Amen.
Look how my life has turned around.
Right. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And so as we use our past experiences and we say, okay, I may not agree with you on this point. That doesn't mean I don't love you. Okay. That means I see it differently. Okay. I think a lot of times we need to forgive each other for the fact that we are different from each other, that we don't see it the same. I forgive you because you don't see it the way I see it. Fine. Okay. I forgive you. I let it go. You don't owe me. Okay. You can't make it right. That's how you see it. That's how I see it. But it's when the devil uses these differences, Connie, and he just magnifies them in our minds, don't you think? Blows them up.
Yeah. He of course, has a way of reminding you of your past.
Oh, yeah.
And the things that you messed up in and things. I was just laughing because this next song is...
Do you have the words?
Yeah.
Go ahead, read some of them.
The first line says, well, the past is playing with me again, and the failure knocks me down again.
Ooh.
I'm reminded of the wrong that I have said and done, and that devil just won't let me forget. And then it goes, in this life, I know what I've been, but here in your arms, I know what I am. I'm forgiven.
Woo, praise God. That reminds me of that bumper sticker. I'm not perfect, but I'm forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what it is. The past mm-hmm. tries to, you're right. The devil comes up, and a lot of times people react because they feel insecure. They feel bad about themselves. They know that they've messed up before, and they know. And so then they take a position of defensiveness. You know, they get real defensive about their position, and they, mm-hmm. You know, and they just kind of like, station themselves for the fight. Megan, talk about this before we do this song by Sanctus Real.
Well, you know how with this song, it says that he's brought up my past again. Well, you know, if Satan's trying to attack you with your past, if you know anything and you're a Christian, remind the devil of his future.
Amen.
Of where he's going. That
right.
he has no control over the children of God.
Right.
And that you can stand up to him under any circumstance, and he can be put underneath your feet
Ooh.
By the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And because of what Jesus did on the cross, we can ask him to forgive us of all sin that we have ever done. If any of you out there in Radio Land right now are not sure that if you died tonight, you would be in the arms of Jesus for all eternity, before we do this song, Connie, I'm feeling very impressed. I want you to repeat after me right now. And if any of you out there today listening live or listening later on our website, if you're not sure of your salvation, there have been many, many people through the years that have been saved right here on the show by repeating this prayer. And what it is an acknowledgement of who Jesus is and asking him to come into your heart. So, dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now in the name of Jesus.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now in the name of Jesus.
Repeat with Connie, all right? I ask you by the power of the name of Jesus.
I ask you by the power of the name of Jesus.
To come into my life.
To come into my life.
To forgive me for all my sin.
To forgive me of all my sins.
Everything I've ever said or done.
Everything I've ever said and done.
That was not pleasing to you.
That was not pleasing to you.
I ask you to forgive me and I accept your forgiveness now.
I ask you to forgive me and I accept your forgiveness now.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
That Jesus died on a cross for my sins and sicknesses.
That Jesus died on the cross for my sins and sicknesses.
All my pain and all my hurt.
All my pains and all my hurt.
I believe that because Jesus died on that cross, I can claim salvation now.
I believe that Jesus died, because Jesus died on the cross, I can claim my salvation.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
And I ask you now.
And I ask you now.
Lord Jesus, to come into my life.
Lord Jesus, to come into my life.
Live in me.
Live in me.
Become my Savior.
Become my Savior.
Become my Lord.
Become my Lord.
The healer of my emotions and my body.
The healer of my emotions and my body.
You are my God and I am your child.
You are my God and I am your child.
In Jesus' name, this
I
pray.
In Jesus' name, this I pray.
Woo! Forgiven by Sanctus Real.
Knocks me down again. I'm reminded of the wrong that I have said and done, and that devil just won't let me forget.
Great song. I'm a treasure in the arms of Christ. Praise God. We have been delivered from darkness, from every evil thing, and we have got to begin to walk in it and walk like we believe that we're forgiven. Oh, Megan, wasn't that a good song?
That was an awesome song. I've never heard that before.
Yeah, I don't think I have either.
Uh-oh. No, I've not heard it.
Okay, really good. And so we've got to start walking like this, Megan.
That's right. Walking in the path of forgiveness, because, you know, just like the song says, if you feel like that you don't belong anywhere,
right,
you don't have anybody, or you don't have anything, guess what? You belong in the arms of the Lord, and He is your home, and He is your shepherd, and He will guide you where you're supposed to go.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. And that's what happened to all through the book of Acts. I mean, you know, we've talked about Paul and Peter. They were just led from one place to the other. They never had an overall game plan. It was living on a daily basis. I didn't have an overall game plan for my life. I started out thinking I was going one direction. And I've ended up totally different direction than where I would have thought I would be right now at this age. But you know what? That's living by letting the Lord lead you. Connie, talk to me about that, because I think this is where a lot of people, they're floundering because they're not turning their lives over to the Lordship of Jesus and allowing the Holy Spirit to direct them.
Well, they're trying to live their life without a plan.
Without a plan.
They don't have a map. They don't have anything. And they just have a monotony of probably waking up, going to work, coming home, and if they have a family, some semblance of family life, and, you know, there's no richness in any of that.
Right.
Without having God with you.
Absolutely. And that's what we have to have, and we have to reach out to you in Radio Land and say, hey, I mean, God is real. He wants to become an active part of your daily life. He wants to lead you, guide you, give you a purpose. And Megan, you read Jeremiah 29, 11 to 14 earlier. God says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to bless you, prosper you, give you a future and a hope. He's got plans for us. Our plans, a lot of times, my plans did not happen, materialize the way I had it at age 16. But God had a plan. Megan, talk to us.
That's right. And, you know, the same way with my life. My life didn't go the way that I thought it should have went back when I was going into college. But I am so blessed right now with the life that I have, because I'm richly blessed with the Lord.
And amen.
Because it doesn't matter what you have or where you live or what you drive or what you wear. It's the love that you have in your heart and having the Holy Spirit.
Oh.
Because when you have the Holy Spirit, when you let the Holy Spirit lead you, it's amazing. It's amazing, and it sounds so crazy, the things that come out of your mouth, because it's like when I go back and I hear myself on the radio, it's like, that's me, and it's like, that's the Holy Spirit. And he gives you so much wisdom. He gives you so much confidence, so much courage. And I just pray for other people to want to seek that out in their own life.
Amen. Amen. Because life's too short. I mean, really, guys, we're only here for a very short time. And life goes by quickly. And there is so much that needs to be done for the kingdom of God. There are so many people to reach. There's so many people to just give a little love to, you know, and give encouragement to, and give direction and guidance. And instead of being so self-centered, that's one of the purposes, I think, of this show today, is to get our eyes off of ourselves and get our eyes out looking to where God wants to take us on a daily basis, even if it means pushing some old guy in his kayak out into the water, you know, whether he wanted to go or not.
You're going.
You're going. But anyway, Connie, talk to me about all this, because I think this is a great theme for this show today. It really is a good show.
Well, I think that, you know, you can get up and go to work and be, you know, take care of yourself and, go through the motions of doing your job, whatever it is, and don't get in contact with anybody and live that kind of sterile type environment life and, you know, come home and be alone. And I know that there's a lot of people who do that just because they are alone and they are sad and hurt and, you know, just jaded by life.
Right.
And I think that, I mean, there's just so many people out there that even just a smile makes a difference in their day.
Right.
And so, you know, if we arm ourselves with Jesus, and as we go out and live our lives and touch people, not necessarily physically touch them, although that sometimes it,
sometimes it, a handshake or a pat on the back is
yeah,
great,
or a hug, whatever. Yeah. You know, I think one by one, each one of us can change the world.
Amen.
And, you know, let people know that there's hope, or that somebody cares, and that you don't want something back from them. You're not doing it because there's something they can do for you.
Right.
Right.
So. Ooh, good stuff. Good stuff. Megan, talk to us.
Well, I think it's important that people stop trying to plan their destiny and let the Lord plan their life here on earth. And, you know, a lot of people, I think, and I've done it myself, get caught up in the moment.
Right.
And there's life beyond this earth.
Right.
Such abundant life. And I just, my job as a Christian, I feel, is to just share the hope of Jesus, and that to let people know that, you know, no matter what you're going through, it's only temporary, because
right.
to give your life to the Lord, you're going to have eternal joy and eternal peace.
Amen.
And that's what we need to seek out for others, is to let them know that there are greater and better things beyond what they're going through.
Absolutely. And it takes being aware, you know, not just kind of dozing through your day, you know, kind of like plodding through it, but instead being aware and saying, Holy Spirit, if you want me to say something to somebody today or pray for them, or maybe not even pray to them so that they hear it, pray for them so that they hear it, but pray to God in place of them, you know, and pray for them. Lord, whatever it is, I'm open. And I think, Megan, this is a big part of it. I think a lot of times we're just caught up in our own lives that we don't take the time, or we don't ask God. Connie, talk to me about that. We just go about our day like God's not even trying to get our attention.
Yeah, it's just, you know, we're just going through the motions, and it's just such a sterile type life. It's so lonely, and it's like mission impossible. You know, you're on a mission, but you're never going to get where
you
need to go.
There.
You're never going to be satisfied with what you're doing, no matter how much money you make, no matter how much, you know, how many bonuses you get, and what a great job you do. You're not going to be happy.
Right.
You're not going to have total fulfillment.
Amen. So it's time to surrender our lives to the Lord. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you right now. We thank you for our listening audience. We thank you, Lord, that you know who these are that are listening live or who will listen later on the website. You know who they are. Lord, you know that you have caused us to say things today that are going to hit home with so many different ones. And Lord, you know you're the architect of this show. You're the one. You plant ideas in our heads, but we just go with where you lead us. And so, Lord, right now, we pray for our listeners. We pray that your love would so permeate their lives that they would realize how much you love them, and that you have a plan for their lives, and that they will reach out to you and ask you for that plan on a daily basis. Lord, let us become more mindful of your presence in our lives, and cause us to know how very, very much you love us, and that you desire for us to experience your goodness, your faithfulness, your joy, your peace, your comfort. So, Lord, for these listeners, we speak all of that today by faith. We believe that they will draw closer to you because you have become more of an active part in their lives. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity today. In Jesus' name, amen. Quick comment, Connie, and then we'll go to Megan for her final thought.
I just keep hearing hope in this hopeless world, and I just think
amen.
That the hopelessness is just on a rise. Now, you know, we have the government shut down, we have people without health care, we have people who are having, you know, health issues and they can't get health care, and you know, all that mess. There's just so much distraught feelings and just hopelessness,
right,
that we need to be able to bring the light and the hope of Jesus to them.
Mm. Thank you, Connie. Great words. Megan.
Well, I, just have the thought of that a lot of people are caught up in drama. A lot of people like to create drama. And drama, I'll tell you what, people, is destructive. It's evil. And we need to stop trying to create problems for people and start trying to fix them with the help of the Lord.
Amen.
And we need to stop being petty of our own lives, and we need to focus on the path that we are supposed to be walking with the Lord, and need to quit worrying about all of the materialistic things of this world. And I just pray that whoever listens to the radio broadcast, that they are given peace this day, and that they are given a new understanding of what the Lord has to offer for them, and that I pray that they seek out how to get that peace.
Woo! Oh, excellent. Amen. Thank you, Megan. Thank you, Connie. Go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. Find out all about the ministry. We moved into a brand new facility at the corner of Drew and 19 just a month ago today. So we welcome you to our services Sunday morning, 10:30, Wednesday night, Bible study at 7. Bring your Bible. If you don't have one, we'll give you one. So Wednesday nights at 7 in the front room of our new facility, Bible study room, with a great big, Cedric, they got me a great big whiteboard to write all over, 16 feet long, and
that's
fill it up.
I can't wait to see it.
Oh, it's really cool. So we welcome you to Beacon of Hope. It's been great to share the word with you today. Pastor Marcia, Connie, and Megan sharing God's word to you. It's not far to Jesus, and you know what? Run to him, because he's there for you. God bless you. Have a great week.
Close your eyes and safely to his side. There's no need for you to fear. You can trust him with your heart. It's not far. It's not far. It's not far. It's not far. From here to Jesus. That far, it's not far from here, Jesus. It's not far from here. It's not far from here, Jesus. It's not far from here. It's not. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.